In that spot, I'd probably take the 44 mag.
The 44 mag have a scope on it?
No.
Why? What is with you, dude?
You can't put a scope on cowboy guns. It doesn't work.
Oh my gosh, you pissed me off.
It doesn't make me feel warm or fuzzy inside.
Then pick something else.
Maybe I'll take the 300 average. I don't know.
Welcome back to Knox Nature, the podcast about archery, hunting, hiking, conservation, firearms, and whatever else you feel like talking about. Episode 34 today. We got a full crew. Justin and I are coming off a four-day whitetail hunting excursion. So we're a little ready for a break, I guess.
Yeah, I could use a nap and a shower.
Nap and a shower for sure. But it was a good time. So we'll definitely be talking about that.
It was action-packed.
Action-packed for sure. We're going to also hear from Jared and his seemingly, from my perspective, successful dove hunt. So, I mean, that's pretty cool.
Fairly successful.
Yeah, right on, man. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything we have to address other than if you haven't listened to our Halloween special, I recommend checking that out. It's a pretty cool episode. And other than that, if you enjoy the show, want to support us, you can follow us on Instagram, KnoxandNature_podcast. You can also find us on YouTube and TikTok at KnoxandNature. If you'd like to support the show on an individual platform, you can like or subscribe, rate the show, any one of those things. So wherever you're listening from, whoever you are, we appreciate you being here. And with that, let's hear from Jared on the Texas dove hunting.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. We were somewhat successful. The bag limit per person per day was 15. And I think we got 10 total between two people. So not overly successful, but we still got something. So, I mean, I got enough that I ended up just taking all 10. So I got more than I need. So, yeah, it was cool. We went out to Lone, Texas. It's pretty much right on the very far west portion of, like, central Texas. So kind of getting into West Texas. Yeah, it was out on a cattle ranch. And this rancher, it's actually kind of funny. It's a bunch of sign guys out there. So they have a deer lease. And the original rancher, he started this deer lease. And it was a bunch of sign guys work for Reese, which is basically like Wensco for the Midwest. Okay. And but it's just Reese down here. So all these Reese guys were out on this deer lease, and one of them ends up marrying the rancher's daughter. Now he runs the ranch, and It's still a bunch of Reese guys, and then my boss, which sign company. That's so awesome. We all get along pretty well and whatnot, right? But yeah, we got out there pretty late Friday night. After driving through a pretty nasty thunderstorm and had some steaks for dinner and then woke up bright and early in the morning. It was just me and my boss that went out hunting. Brooke ended up sleeping in. And we went out for the morning hunt, got all set up, put out all the Mojo decoys and everything, and I've got my lawn chair set up. I'm all ready to go. My boss looks at me. He goes, "I'm a dummy." He brought a bunch of 12-gauge shells, and he ended up bringing a 20-gauge over under. So he ended up having to run back to the camp and grab some of Brooke's shells that she brought. So we did have some 20-gauge. He was able to use those. So yeah, it was funny because immediately after he left to go back to camp, a dove landed right by the decoys and I smoked him. And that's nice. When I sent you guys that photo. So it was a good start. And then, we hung around that spot for a little while longer. We weren't getting a ton of action. So we went back to one of the, other spots that my boss pretty much always hunts at. And we started seeing a lot more birds over there, But with the thunderstorm, they just weren't flying around very much. Like they were just kind of all staying right on the ground. And if they were flying around, it was just a little ways. They weren't really coming up and migrating very much. Because normally what they do is in the morning and in the evening, they'll go out to find little rocks because they need rocks to digest their food, or they need water, or they're going to get food. So they'll fly out and go eat and drink and whatnot in the morning and evening. And then during the day, they kind of roost in the fields. So we were, and they're super sensitive to motion. Like even just a little bit of motion, they get spooked. Color's not really a big deal, neither scent or noise. So that was kind of nice. But yeah, we ended up going to the spot and we were walking down the fence lines and whatnot. We had one flew in and it came in right above Brian and he took a few shots at it. And then I'm like following it around with the shotgun and it landed on a tree and I smoked it and it was a little too close because I kind of obliterated it. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then after that, we ended up just walking down these fence lines and shooting a couple. So I think I got, I don't know, I think it was 4 in the morning.
Nice.
And then we got 6 at night. Yeah. So, yep, did that. And then throughout the day, you know, they kind of go out and they roost during the day. So we're like, all right, well, let's head back to camp. And we went out into some cool little ranching town. It was literally the only thing there was a like a feed supply store that also had like a cafe in it. So we got lunch there. It was really cool. It was all just a bunch of ranching trucks out there.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was cool. And then we went back and just did some prep for deer season because that's starting up. I think it started this weekend here. And so we're checking deer feeders because you can use bait in Texas for deer.
Nice.
So we're checking deer feeders and running around, making sure everything's all good, trimming some tree branches and whatnot. And then sighted in a rifle. He's using a 25-06. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we just shot some pistols. And then we went back out dove hunting and same deal. We were all set up, got all the decoys ready to go, and just same thing, no action. They weren't moving around. And even if they were moving around, they weren't really coming over us. They were kind of going over to the right of us into this big field. And the other thing is, like, if you don't have a dog, you need to shoot them somewhere where it's going to be easy to retrieve them because they blend in super well with the brush.
Oh yeah, I could see that.
And yeah. How are you? So if you're them. Set up with a bunch of decoys, like you mentioned, put up the mojo and all that, are you calling to them or are you just waiting for them to fly over and see the decoys basically?
Yeah, usually they just fly over and they see the decoys and they'll get somewhat close, but not super close. So the chokes that we had in were, I had a modified, so mine was good up to like 35 yards. And then I think he had a full choke in the bottom barrel, and then he had a modified in the top barrel so he could switch his shots because he had an over under. So that,
you just using that little single shot you got?
No, I was using, he had a old pump 12 gauge that I was using. So, yep. And then in the afternoon, he ended up using a semi-auto 20 gauge. But yeah, it worked out decent though because we ended up just kind of, I think we got one or two birds sitting there by the decoys and just not a ton of action. So we ended up walking down that fence line again. And we actually, what we did is we had someone walk the fence line and someone walk through the field to kick them up. And what would happen is as soon as they get kicked up, they'd fly over across that fence line and whoever was walking the fence line just start smoking them.
Nice.
So yeah, we each took turns doing that. And so I think I got 7 total and he got 3 and he just gave me his 3. So that's cool, 10 total. Dude. Yeah. it was a lot of fun. I definitely want to do it again. And it'd be really fun to do it in the beginning of the season, because he was telling me beginning of the season, it's like, he goes, it's like Vietnam. You're just shooting left and right. And, you know, he was saying he went out there with 100 shells at the beginning of the season, got 5 birds. The only reason he stopped was because he ran out of shells. Wow. So.
That's crazy. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it does sound like fun. I wish Michigan had a dove season.
Yeah, I don't think they do at all, even downstate or anything.
No, it's considered a songbird.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think doves are the most harvested game animal in America. Probably.
Most of the time, like, if Michigan did have a dove season, you can just go to like a old barn, you know, anywhere that's going to have like a power line, basically. They're just going to be chilling.
I have doves in my front yard all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. You had them.
I know that there was some stuff I saw on social media of people building fake power lines to shoot doves.
Yeah.
Because the electric company gets real upset when you shoot at the power lines.
Right.
But no, the other thing, this ranch was pretty cool. It was like 2,500 acres.
Wow.
Jeez.
Just crazy. Yeah. Oh, and then I'm sure that our listeners have heard Elvira in the background at least once by now. We were out driving around on the ranch and found a pretty good sized deer shed, so she's been gnawing away at that.
Nice. That's cool.
Yep.
We didn't find any sheds, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But
I've never found a single shed around there. Nope. Besides the elk.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds fun, dude. I would probably be more open. I guess I don't know. Texas might be different. My dad's just told me so many horror stories of ducks and wastewater treatment plants. You know, I wouldn't want to duck hunt around here, but I would dove hunt. It's just fun to shoot a moving target in the air.
I like shooting shotguns. I haven't shot shotguns in a long time. We need to go do that.
Yeah, we should. We
keep on talking about it, but we never do it.
Because we're always chasing deer.
Right.
That's one of the things we were talking about, is how satisfying it is to shoot one out of the air.
Yeah,
we kept joking around. We were calling them Jared shots because I kept getting them while they were on the ground.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it works, man, if that's the only opportunity you have at one, screw it.
Yeah, it was working pretty good. I got more than he did.
Right, exactly.
And only went through probably 50 shells to do it instead of 100.
Yeah, no kidding.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. And it was really pretty out there, too.
I bet. 2,500
it was,
is it pretty flat?
No, there was a lot of wooded trees and whatnot. And we were also kind of on the outskirts of like hill country, Texas. So
nice.
Yep, it was really cool out there.
Sweet, man. And that would be the same property that you might go deer hunting at?
Correct. Nice. Yep.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, speaking of deer hunting.
What a transition.
What a transition, right? So, Justin and I went up to his cabin this past weekend, actually left Thursday morning. Got up there, kind of, whatever, got everything settled at the cabin, went out Thursday night to find a spot, and we hiked a ways to be able to get to where we were at. But we basically hiked until we found sign. We found a scrape on the ground. Walked like, what, 60 yards, 70 yards?
Yeah, and we kind of knew a general area. Like, there's a lot of just general deer sign, but we didn't find any scrapes or rubs until that one.
Yeah.
But we were in there, I don't know how far we were from where we set up,
a couple weeks ago,
but we were probably about a couple hundred yards.
Yeah.
But yeah, we went in there. Yeah, we were about 60 or 70 yards from that scrape.
Yeah, we got set up in this tree and whatever. We thought we were in a pretty good spot. We had some does come through and still don't really know what spooked those. I figured it was a buck, but I guess you don't know, you know, whatever.
They I don't think that first set of does, I don't think anything spooked them. I think they just crossed the river there.
No, they blew at us because they were up on the hill and they took off and they went up to the top of that ridge.
Oh, and
they're blowing
right
at us.
They did.
But then the coyotes fired off like 30 minutes later. So maybe they got the coyotes win. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was just nuts, man. I mean, those Thursday and Friday kind of blend together, but we heard owls all around us. We had coyotes all around us. We had a couple of does work their way in to like 15 yards from us, but they were just behind some pine trees that they were just, it was so thick through there. No, we didn't have a shot. And so they got spooked. I think those were the only ones that winded us.
Yeah, those were they actually winded us.
But they were really close. And then they ran off. Sounded like something chased them basically through the river. Mm-hmm. You know, a few minutes after that, was following them. We bumped a couple young bucks on our way through. Was that Friday night?
That was Friday afternoon. Yeah, we on the way in, we bumped a couple. If we were paying attention, we probably could have got a shot at that one.
Yeah, it was just standing there. I didn't even notice.
There freaking, you know, 15 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took a couple steps and that one, you know, bounced off.
He was a really young one, though.
Yeah. I never even saw. I just saw his ass when he was running away.
Yeah. But yeah, we got into a different spot. It was like 750 yards from where we sat Thursday and Friday night, but completely different location, other side of this piece of private property or whatever, and very different terrain. It was much more open than what we were hunting the first night, and then we got in there. Oh, we sat that yesterday morning.
Yeah.
We waited for it to get daylight and then walked in, found a tree, got set up, and we had does in there within an hour of being in the tree.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened pretty fast. They just popped out. The thing with that spot is you couldn't hear them at all. You know, there's a lot of those soft pine needles or, you know, the dead ferns. You can hear stuff walk through, but
it was like mossy.
Yeah, every pine deer needles that we saw in there, you couldn't hear them.
I heard that eight coming.
Did you?
As I heard him cross the river, which we'll get to that, but yeah, I heard him coming.
Yeah, but we had those does, and they were coming in. I mean, like they read the script right where we thought they were going to. We were kind of set up on like a little hub where some trails come together and cross this little open section that we were sitting in. And, you know, they had to take three or four more steps to get out. I couldn't shoot it, the lead one, just because I had a pine branch in the way. Really the only pine branch that was even in my way.
Mm-hmm.
They just came out right there. And
like it usually happens.
Right, like it always happens. And then we were about like 160, 170 yards from a two track.
Yeah.
And which actually turned out to be my dad going down the two track with a snowmobile trailer and a ladder stand on it.
Clink, 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 clink,
yeah,
clink,
bouncing
clink
down the two track, and these deer, you know, they only jumped off maybe, you know, because it's those thick jack pines. They're probably 15-year-old jack pines. But with all the ice damage and the, you know, windfalls and everything, they're super thick now. And they bounced, you know, 10 yards into the jack pines and kind of made a little loop around us. And then, I mean, what was that, 10 minutes later?
Yeah.
10, 15 minutes later or whatever, they came out on the other side. So they came out on the side I couldn't shoot on because I'm sitting in a tree stand.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really shoot to my right.
Unless you stand up.
Unless I stand up. And if I had more time, I probably could have.
But they were right there before we noticed them.
I mean, they were within 30 yards when I saw them.
Justin texts me. He's like, because we were texting about that situation, like, oh, that was weird. We were far enough apart in height of the tree stand to where we couldn't really whisper to each other. It was too loud. So we're texting each other back and forth, sitting in the same tree, which is kind of funny, but, you know, whatever. So he texts me. He's like, oh, more coming to your right. So I turned to my right thinking that they were going to be basically where they came out before, but they were to his right, which was actually like behind me. So I turned over my right shoulder and I saw him coming. Had I spun over my left shoulder, I could have just grabbed my bow and probably done a 180, might have been able to get a shot off, but they were right there and I had absolutely no cover between me and the deer because it was just, that was just like an opening underneath the canopy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made their way kind of around. I had a little like 2-foot by 3-foot window or whatever that I needed her to walk into, and it looked like she was going to get right there. So I came to full draw on my bow. She took a couple of steps and she was actually at the top of the window. So all I really could shoot at was like the very bottom of her belly. And I didn't think that I could arc one in there and get it any higher. So
it was a small window.
It was very small. So she took a couple more steps and went around this pine tree and I let down. And then I had another window. She was at like 60 yards or something like that. And at that point I knew I couldn't shoot her because she went down. I thought it was just like a little dip, but it turned out to actually be the same creek that we were kind of sitting the edge prior to. But she went down there and I got to full draw again, thinking if she comes back, you know, I can shoot her or whatever, but I was just kind of practicing holding on her head because I had all that adrenaline in me and I was good, dude. 60 yards, that pin was just kind of floating around on her head.
Yeah, that's cool.
But it was, you know, I felt confident. So maybe I should have shot that 8, but.
Right.
But yeah, that was Friday morning.
Saturday
morning. And then it was pretty uneventful after that. We sat for like another hour and a half and didn't see anything.
Yeah, something like that. Then we had to get out because we didn't eat breakfast or anything. So we had to get out and get some food in us. And we helped my dad and uncle hang a ladder stand. And
which was a shit show.
Yeah, it worked out pretty good. But we just had to make sure we were in the stand by, I think we wanted to be in the stand by 3 o'clock.
We're pretty close, too.
And I think we were pretty close. I think, yeah, somewhere around there.
3:15, maybe.
Right. But then, yeah, we saw her Saturday afternoon. We sat for, I don't know what time. Oh, no, that was 5:30.
5:30.
Because we were sitting, you know, we sat, got in at, you know, around 3. Nothing was really going on. Nothing was moving. Really still day. No wind.
Super, super calm.
Until, I mean, a little bit picked up in the as it got closer to dark, but not that bad. But I remember Nick was, you know, I looked at up at him at one point, and he's like, oh, yeah, they're going to come in at 5:30. I was like, all right, you know, sweet. And, you know, we sat for another, you know, hour or something. And we had like a little basket rack 6 come through off to my right, but it was far enough kind of in front of me that I could have shot at it. By the time I saw it, you know, I don't, did the deer just kind of pop out?
It's like spawn.
It's like, yeah. I don't know where he came from. I didn't see him until there was one shooting lane. And he was like halfway through it. So by the time I kind of got turned and got my bow up and stuff, he was approaching another shooting lane that I had. And again, he stopped right before, kind of put his head up towards the 2-track. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, what is that? And like, we didn't have, wind is not going that way. Like, we were good. It was a good opportunity.
Even the thermals with the milkweed, they weren't.
Yeah, you know, I kept on using my milkweed and seeing what was going on. Everything was fine. And he picked his head up and, you know, look towards the 2-track, and then all of a sudden, freaking side by side comes ripping through, you know, bah! And he didn't like run off, like he didn't like full on spook, but it just like those does, took a couple steps up into the pines and was looking around, whatever, keeping an ear on that side by side. And then there was one other spot where I could have shot him, one little opening. And he kind of walked towards it. So I, you know, start getting my bow ready. I start putting pressure on the string. I'm like, all right, here we go. Like, he's going to step into there. And it was maybe, I think, 35 yards. And as soon as he goes to step into the opening, he takes like one jump through the opening and lands in the pines and then walks off.
Yeah, he turned because he was like really strong quartering away, and it looked like he was going to turn basically to give you a shot broadside in that shooting lane.
Yeah.
From the picture you sent me, because I'm looking a little bit above that or whatever. Right. But then he just turned to the right, so he was like directly facing away from us and just took like two big bounds, and then he was in the pines and gone.
Yeah. And then he walked off, but like he never looked in our direction. No, I mean, nothing. Didn't, you know, blow his nose at us. Yeah, it was just like, again, freaking something on that two track. Mm-hmm. And it spooked him both times. And we're, you know, 160, 170 yards away. People run that two track all the time. You know, it's mm-hmm. not like it's odd or some random thing, but I don't know. But like we talked about earlier, where we were sitting was kind of backed up to a swamp, and we're in this like open stretch of old red pines. So it's a little more open. And I think they're just nervous to be in that open
mm-hmm.
a little
no cover.
Bit. Like they're walking through there, but they were spooking really easy at random shit. And then they go into those thick pines. So they know if they step 10 yards in those pines, they're safe. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like their default. Like they hear anything, they're bam, into the pines. But like those does in the morning walked through no problem, you know, but they're walking, you know, it's not like they're hanging out in there.
And she was still on edge. I mean, even I was like, you know, getting ready to draw and whatever. And mm-hmm. once I had got to full draw and let down the first time, she's making her way. She's still taking her time. They hurried up and got into the swamp.
Yeah.
Once they were in the swamp, like she had her head on a swivel. She's sticking her nose up in the air. She's right. trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. It's like you have that's the only place you can shoot them.
Yeah. You wouldn't have had an opportunity anywhere else.
No. And you just got to get them going through there. But we were in a good spot where, you know, we had multiple deer kind of coming, you know, transferring from that swamp, either from the swamp to the pines or from the pines to the swamp.
Yep.
I think what they were doing is going out into the swamp, and there was some field stuff over there on the, you know, if you went farther onto the private. So I think they're going over there to eat, and then they're bedding down in those thick pines. So we kind of caught them in between the food and bedding. But yeah, that buck went away, never got a shot. Sat there for, and then the funny part is after that buck, he took a couple steps and he was gone. I was like, oh, what the hell? And, you know, I looked at my watch, and it was 5:28.
Yep.
It was like, oh.
Right on cue.
Yeah, and they called it.
Yeah, and then it was like right before, I mean, literally, what did we have, 20 minutes left of legal light?
I don't even know that. It was pretty dark.
It was pretty dark, and I saw just a nose, you know, just the head of a deer. I didn't even know he had antlers. Coming through, I heard what to me sounded like somebody lifting a muck boot out of mud, you know, just like, and so I was like, okay, well, something's coming.
Yeah, it's not a squirrel.
Something's over there, right. And so I'm looking in that direction, and then I see a head, you know, you hear like some twigs snapping or whatever. I see a head coming. I'm like, oh, okay. So I, you know, tell Justin, like, hey, here comes a deer, like, get ready. And what I thought was going to happen is, I guess I don't know directions. We were on that was the south side. So mm-hmm. I thought he was going to walk from the north, which would have been the swamp area, and he was going to walk basically in a straight line to the south and hit this, you know, basically run into this mock scrape that we had made and just walking through this transition point. I don't know what ended up happening. Basically, I saw him back in the swamp, just his head or whatever. He took a few more steps, whatever. I realized it was a buck. And so I'm like, oh, okay, like this is going to be good. And he was moving pretty fast through the swamp. So he gets to the edge of like this swamp transition out of the marshy area into where we were sitting, which was, you know, pine needles and moss and kind of like a, basically like a meadow. Mm-hmm. And so he gets to the edge and just kind of stops there. And it was just hanging out for a minute. So then I see, like, okay, this is a good-looking 8-point. I'm going to get my bow ready. And in my head, the deer was going to do one of two things. He was going to turn right, turn to his right, which would have been turning, I guess, to the west and head my way. And he was going to come out at like 20 yards. And if he kept moving at the speed he was moving, there was no way I would have enough time to pull that camera around. All I did was hit record on the camera. It was basically just right over your head pointing in that flat area.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't have time to get it around. So he started, so he was either going to do that or he was going to walk straight. And I just wouldn't have got footage of him coming in. It would have just been like right as you're ready to take a shot is when I was going to get him. Well, he turned to the right and was looking kind of in our direction, but like not up in the air. Right. Just kind of looking basically towards our stand, which made sense because there was, we found out that there was a couple of rubs right there and there's like a trail alongside like 15 yards from where we set up. So to me, it made sense. It was like, he's going to be right here. I can shoot him. So he starts making his way and he stops and he's frontal. Like he's basically facing me directly. And it would have been a frontal shot at 54 yards. And I was like, I don't feel comfortable taking that. So then he spins around and he turns broadside. Now I think he's going to walk basically in front of Justin, you know, keep walking directly south again. And that was at 56 yards. But he stopped there. So then I, again, was debating on, well, maybe I just take the shot. Like, he's perfectly broadside. I opted not to because he started walking again. He walked like 4 yards further, 4 or 5 yards forward towards the south again, and then spun around, did a big loop back, not like spooking, just kind of, you know, walking, and walked back to the wood line. And he was over by this smaller tree, so I was thinking, okay, maybe he's going to, you know, make a rub or make a scrape or, you know, something like that. He was just kind of hanging out. Watched him for a while. At this point, you know, I've got my bow in my hand, so I'm ready to shoot him if I get a good opportunity, or I'm going to, you know, just keep my bow in my left hand and grab the camera with my right hand if he goes towards you. So one or the other, whichever way he goes, he's going to die. Except he went back the way he came.
Right.
So he gets to this small tree and he kind of paused for a minute and he takes a step into the timber. So at this point, I'm like, well, what the hell? Or not into the timber, but into the swamp. So I grab my call and I snort wheezed at him as he was walking twice. He stops. The second time I did it, he kind of looks over and he was waiting there for, I don't know, felt like 2 hours. It was probably 3 or 4 minutes. Then he takes a couple more steps. I snort wheeze again, hit the grunt at him, and he was already moving when I snort wheezed, and then he eventually just like just sped up. You know, it was like somebody was walking and then just started running.
Yeah.
So in my head, he never like blew or, you know, sniffed, you know, never saw me, anything like that. I think the only thing that happened is he came into that area, maybe thought something was up. Maybe he caught a whiff of something with our scent or, you know, whatever, just something maybe didn't feel right. Maybe smelt the mock scrape or whatever. If he had smelled some of that, I don't know. But I think he came out and he was on edge for something because he had his nose in the air a little bit.
Right.
So maybe something just didn't feel right. And then he was going back into the swamp. And then when I snort wheezed at him, he basically decided like, no, okay, there is a big buck in here and I don't want to mess with him. I don't know if I should have just grunted at him, if I shouldn't have grunted at all. Maybe I shouldn't have made any noise and just see what happened.
Yeah.
But in my head,
but it sounds like he was already kind of walking away.
Right. You know, and you play that game. At that point,
you don't have anything to lose.
You play that game with yourself where you're like, oh, you know, was he actually moving away or whatever? Mm-hmm. But in the moment, I'm like, everything told me that this deer's walking away anyway. So you may as well try to get him back.
Right.
And he just didn't have any interest. But I was super disappointed. I mean, obviously it sucked because I really wanted to get on that deer. And at that point, you know, by the time he left, it was 10 or 15 minutes, right, you know, before end of legal light. So we really didn't have an opportunity at anything else, but super close. Well, it was like 5 minutes later because I think it was like 6 or 7 minutes before end of legal light. Like I knew we didn't have very long.
Yeah.
And I let out a couple of grunts just to see if we could get something to come in because there, you know, were a couple bucks in that area and there was some movement or whatever. And there was a group of does that I didn't see come in to the field way off on the private. That was like, you know, I don't know, 150 yards or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little further than that. But they had made their way through that field and they were kind of hanging out basically right at the crossing of this little river creek thing that we were sitting. And when I grunted, they blew and took off running the other direction. And then I saw another, like a single deer running off. Like they ran to the left and he, you know, another deer ran to the right, which I think was that buck.
Yeah, probably.
So I think when I grunted, they thought it was him and, you know, just kind of took off or whatever. Right. Cause they would have only, if they were, they're standing in that transition point, you know, they're probably 70 yards or so. I don't know how far they would have been from him, but they just took off. So I don't know. At the rate that those does were moving though, I don't know that they will, you know, they probably would have come in as we were like packing up, ready to leave.
Yeah, probably. We didn't have enough time.
No, it was getting dark so fast. I mean, we decided, you know, it was a couple minutes before end of legal light anyway, and we were like, we can't shoot. We can't see anything. So
I have a hard time in that transition light seeing much of anything.
Just being in the timber.
Yeah.
Like I think end of legal light would be full moon. You know, and you're hunting a field.
Right.
You're overlooking this whole thing. You're basically shooting at a silhouette anyway.
Yeah.
But when you're in the timber, you have a full overcast day. I mean, it gets dark fast.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be dark tonight in a couple hours. It'll be like pitch black.
Yeah, right. Daylight savings.
3 hours. Yeah. So it's crazy.
It was fun. We got really close.
Every time.
A bunch of times, you know, we saw deer every sit. Which was always good. And I mean, I felt pretty good about what we were doing.
It's a big confidence booster to see deer every time like that.
Right. Especially in different multiple spots. And, you know, even from last weekend or not last weekend, but a couple weekends ago, we saw deer then too. So it's like every time we've been up there, we've been getting in a deer.
With multiple different winds and different setups and different locations entirely. Yeah. Yeah, it's
pretty cool, especially with both of us in the same tree. You know, you're doubling your movement, you're doubling your scent, and to have that many deer within bow range that many times, it's like that's pretty damn cool.
We're doing something right, but we're obviously still doing something wrong. That's the part that's frustrating.
I think it's just a time game.
Yeah, it might be.
You know what I mean? You just got to put in the time to do it. You know, and we had really 3 days, 2.5 days. To hunt, you know, that's not a ton of time.
But and so I'm gonna kind of hold myself accountable here because we've had this conversation several times of like, well, you know, hunting public land's not that much different because you're still hunting the same animal. You know, it's not. And to your point, you're like, yeah, but the pressure, man, like that is legitimately what we were facing.
Yeah,
because we had proven we can find deer, but like you had explained. During rifle season, all of that movement shifts because there's so much pressure.
Yeah,
it's not a piece of private where you have control over who's there. And then on top of that, even during bow season, we can't control side-by-sides ripping up and down.
Right.
You know, guys putting up pop-ups for rifle season.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to just kind of deal with it. And unfortunately for us, you know, including your dad was getting stands ready for rifle season.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, unfortunately for us, things didn't work out. If that was a piece of private, you know, where that two track was like a private road and we knew nobody was going to be on it,
right.
We probably would have killed three deer that, you know, Saturday night or whatever. But that's what I'm learning is like, it's not, public land is not challenging because of you as a hunter. It's everything else that you physically can't control.
Mm-hmm.
All of the advantages to public land is stuff that you can control.
Yeah.
So if you're a great hunter on public, or sorry, if you're a great hunter on private, you can be a great hunter on public if everything goes your way.
Right.
But you have to overcome the things you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, you know, sometimes you just can't get around the shit.
Yeah. It happens.
But a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really glad we did that.
It's some of the most fun hunting I've done in a while, you know.
It was real, like, just getting after it. A lot of woodsmanship type stuff. We didn't have any cameras up. We're in there. We're looking for sign. We hang a set. Boom, we're on deer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's legit hunting.
Right.
Super cool. There's no bait. You know, we're not just fucking driving around until we see deer. Like, we had to put in some actual work to get on those deer.
Mm-hmm.
And were they, you know, was that 8-point going to be the next world record? No, absolutely not. But to get on a semi, I mean, to be honest with you, I wasn't paying too close attention to the body at that point. I was just like, oh, it's a shooter. He might have only been a 2.5-year-old,
oh,
8-point,
yeah.
You know, right. Just like a little bit bigger than a basket 8 type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a small 3-year-old. But he may have been a 2, or he may as well have been a 200-inch deer to us,
right,
because of the amount of work we put in just to get on those animals.
Yeah.
Because we did like 10 miles total from my calculations, all that hiking around.
Yeah, probably. And not easy hiking. Like, we're not just walking down 2 tracks.
No.
With all the ice storm damage, the woods are just closed off. And
we've got 45 pounds on our backs.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass to walk through.
45 pounds on your back, bow in your hand, and a lot of times a thick, heavy layer of, you know, bibs or pants, because you got to stay warm.
Yeah.
That you're hiking through. I mean, that's a lot of weight to just be throwing around.
Oh, yeah.
And hiking through. But so much fun, dude.
Did you guys see, with all the ice storm damage, the MDNR is giving out permits for harvesting cord's wood?
No, I didn't, but that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing 5-quart of wood for northern lower and eastern upper peninsula. You can do 5-quart of wood, and then in areas that are specifically damaged by the ice storms, you can take 10-quart.
Wow.
And you've got 90 days to use the pass or the permit, and it expires end of the year. So to me, it's kind of dumb because it's like right during deer season. But
yeah, that is kind of dumb. But at the same time, is like there's all of that. You know, even where we were hunting, you could have pulled 10 cords of jack pines out of there, and there was still another 45 probably just laying in the ground. I mean, there's just so much damage in those areas.
Yeah. Yeah, it really jacked things up. But
pun intended with the jack pine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't know, man. And I guess, you know, strategy moving forward is just like I've got next weekend, you know, I've got some time that I could get out and get on something if I feel like I can. I mean, it's such a hard, next week's like the week. And if I screw it up, it's rifle season or nothing.
Yeah.
Cause those bucks will be gone during late season on that piece of private. So I got to really get my shit together and make sure I understand what's happening there. I'm probably going to sit all day Saturday, which sucks because all day sits in a saddle. It's hard to stay comfortable. I mean, it's hard to stay comfortable probably even in your hang-on unless you were to stand for long periods of time. And
I did
and
change it up. Seat cushion. So
nice.
We'll see if that helps.
Yeah. But I don't know. You know, it's going to take some work to, you know, do some e-scouting and make sure I can pick a I know that area pretty well, but just kind of looking at, you know, topo maps for terrain, pick a spot that makes sense on the property, and then find a way to access it with whatever wind I have.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a hike. It's still a half mile in.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to be there. As dumb as it sounds, I'm going to hike in there to where I know I can be in the stand 30 minutes before daylight.
Yeah.
Sit there all morning. Sit there, you know, as long as I possibly... The only time I'd ever get down is if I had to, you know, take a piss or something.
Mm-hmm.
And probably just try to sit all day. Because it's really the only time. I mean, I know based off of historical data, October 7th, 9th, and 11th, you know, so every 2 days or whatever, is when I had that big 10 point last year on camera.
Yeah.
And he showed up for the first time on the 7th and then daylighted those other. So, you know, basically this upcoming weekend is the weekend to where I can make that happen. And I'm going to try everything. I'll be rattling and grunting. And
yeah, right.
I don't know. There's deer in the area. It's definitely possible. but I absolutely am going to have to capitalize on it. It's just going to take a hell of a lot of work and a lot of luck.
Yep. So there she goes.
So you're not hunting next weekend?
Probably not. Unless something happens, because I got cold all weekend. I don't have a spot where I can set up with him.
Yeah, even that spot down the road here is not ideal for that.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, maybe in the future I could have put like a ground blind there or something, but it's so hard to shoot a bow out of a ground blind.
Yeah, I have a giant ground blind.
Yeah, and I don't. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
So if something happens where he has a sleepover or something, maybe I will, but.
Other than that, it's rifle season.
Yep.
You feeling pretty confident about that?
I think so. I got some, you know, because I've just been in the woods a lot up there. So I got some ideas of where to go. And
I think if you go up there, are you going up there the day before rifle like you normally do?
Yeah, so I'll probably leave. I have the 14th off. So I'll probably go up there.
Wednesday night?
Yeah, Wednesday night after work. Or is it
Thursday night. 14th is a Friday, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Thursday night I'll go up there. And then, I mean, maybe I'll even bow hunt the 14th. Why not, you know?
That's what I would do, is I would go, I'd go up there the 14th and leave at like 1 o'clock, go set up your stand in that same spot we were at, mm-hmm. maybe even the same tree.
Right.
And then hunt all night. If you don't shoot something, leave your set, be back bright and early in the morning, do an all-day sit.
Yeah.
If you do an all-day sit opening day of rifle, I would, in that spot, I would venture to guess you're probably going to get something.
I don't think so.
At least a doe. But, dude, if that 8-point walks out, fucking smoking.
Oh, yeah. I just got to figure out what gun I want to use.
Whichever one you feel comfortable with. I already know which one you're going to take.
What?
300 Savage.
In that spot, I'd probably take the 44 Mag.
The 44 Mag have a scope on it?
No.
Why? What is with you, dude?
You can't put a scope on cowboy guns. It doesn't work.
Oh, my gosh. You pissed me off.
It doesn't make me feel warm or fuzzy inside.
Then pick something else.
Maybe I'll take the 300 Savage. I don't know.
I mean, there's areas there where you could have a 150-yard shot out of a tree stand.
Yeah, you probably could, actually.
And I don't know that you're going to have the ability to freehand that open sights at 150 yards to take that type of shot.
No, probably not. And the 44 Mag doesn't have any steam at 150.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I know for sure I can't take an open sight shot at 150 yards just standing, let alone in a tree stand.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I might be able to hit a target, but I wouldn't feel comfortable ethically taking that kind of a shot in a whitetail.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what I do. If I load up this 300 Win Mag, maybe I'll use that.
Better get to it.
Yeah, I know. I'm running out of time.
Actually, so I'm curious about that. I don't want to spend a ton of time on the gun show piece, but
yeah, we got to wrap it up a little bit.
Yeah, we'll wrap things up here. This last bit, but so Justin and I went to the gun show over in Gaylord today. It was pretty cool. I found some guns that were good potentials, but nothing crazy different than what I see online. So, you know, whatever. But you were looking at getting powder, but then also bullets. You're going to put that bullet in your 30-30 loads?
No, this is for the 300 Win Mag. I have a box in the table in front of me. It's the Barnes TTSX 130 grains. That's what I'm going to try in the 300 Win Mag.
But what are you putting in? Why did you want the other 30 cal of those today?
I was looking at the Leverution. It's the Hornady FTX.
Oh, the FTX.
Yeah. Okay. So you can't, these ones, you can't put in a 30-30.
Because they're pointy.
Because they're pointy.
Yeah.
But the FTX, the Hornady FTXs, the polymer is soft enough that it won't detonate the primer.
It's like the Leverutions I use.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So
I was basically looking for that bullet and that powder so I can reload
that same round, but like your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
When I heard you say FTX, I thought you were talking about these bullets.
Oh,
I was just standing next to you, and right. That's why I was like, dude, what the fuck? I didn't know that you would be able to do that, but
yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
But I also have, I can reload 30-30 with what I got here. I got that pile of stuff on the floor, and that the bullet that I have over there is 125 grain.
That's a round nose?
It's a flat nose. Oh. Hollow point.
It's a like little 45-70.
Yeah, it's that same kind of bullet construction. It's actually probably the same bullet. It's just 30 caliber and a lot lighter.
Nice.
But I could use those too. So I don't know what I'm going to do for that thing. You know, because I don't need to stretch out 125 grain into 30-30 is pretty light for caliber. But yeah. I don't need the 30-30 for me is not filling any specific role. I just bought it because I wanted it. I don't need it for anything. So I don't know what I'm going to do with it or, you know.
You have a scope on that 300 Win Mag?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a Leupold VX Freedom.
I don't know if I saw that. But anyway. Yeah. I hope you do get that working because that gun's pretty light.
Mm-hmm.
Be easy. And it's, you know, it's polymer. It's got a coated barrel, so you don't have to worry about rust and all that. The bolt
be
rusts,
a good,
that's about it.
It'd be a good, and that's kind of what I wanted it for, is, you know, a shit weather gun. When it's raining, it's snowing, it's whatever. You're going to be trudging through the swamp or the, you know, those pines. Yeah. I freaking hate taking, like, my 300 Savage through those pines because you just scratch the piss out of it.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing something like that, I can just throw. It's you know, it's a cheap Mossberg Patriot. It's not.
It's got a $400 scope on it.
Yeah. Not, I don't even know if it's that. But, you know, so I don't need to worry about it. It's a 300 Win Mag, so I can use it in pretty much any situation, and it's going to be fine. Yeah. Because, like, when it's all cold and rainy and shitty out, I'm not going to sit with any of my nice guns.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
Yeah. Some exciting stuff to come. Rifle season's right around the corner. If you do end up shooting a deer, feel free to DM us on Instagram. We'd love to see it.
Unless it's with a crossbow. Keep that to yourself.
Yeah, or just tell us you shot it with a rifle and then we'll, you know, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, so. It's the same thing.
Now, all jokes aside, if you shoot a deer and you want to share it with us, feel free to message us on Instagram, KnoxNature_podcast. It'd be sweet to see all that. So, yeah, I think that's going to pretty much do it for today. We're on the tail end of archery season here. Hopefully we can make something happen. But
still got December.
Yeah, late season, true. But we've got a break here for rifle, and we'll see what happens. I mean, if I'm stuffed into that corner for rifle season, I'll probably just hunt with my bow. Actually, I don't know if I can. Wisdom tooth surgery, trying to anchor like that. Oof.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
So, but we'll figure it out. So, yeah, Jared will keep us updated if he goes deer hunting in Texas, and that'd be pretty sweet. So,
yep. I think right now I'm holding off for, I'm coming back home to Michigan for Thanksgiving. So,
heck yeah, dude.
I hope you're trying to shoot something up there. Back here.
That'd be sweet.
Yep. Get back out to the old swamp blind.
Yes, sir. Hell yeah. Well, we appreciate everyone for listening to this episode, and we'll catch you in the next one.